Our scripture reading today contains a parable from Jesus that is one of the more cryptic parables in all of his teachings. Jesus talks about being a disciple is like being a fig tree that was planted in a garden. A gardener planted this fig tree with a lot of hope that it would bear fruit. But year after year, this fig tree fails to bear fruit. The gardener wants to cut it down, but instead decides to do some other things and give it another chance for it to bear fruit. The meaning of this parable is important but simple. We are the fig tree. God wants us to go out into the world and bear fruit. He does not simply want us just to take up space, but he wants our presence in the world to be a blessing to others, to make a difference to others, to reflect his will in the world. But at times, we don't always bear fruit. And so our call is to do something that Jesus says means to repent, means to do something different in order to live the way that God wants us to live. You see, the key word in all of this scripture today is repentance. That God wants us to live lives of repentance. Now, repentance is one of those words that is often misunderstood in our faith. For some, repentance means to feel guilty or bad for a person's sins. Others, repentance means something quite different. But the true meaning of repentance is to live the way that God wants us to live. You see, it's easy in our daily lives, in our world, to get busy and distracted by our many, many tasks and our many, many opportunities that we can become very active, very busy, but our activity doesn't really produce the thing that God wants it to produce. When I was a kid, my dad had a great big truck. He was a contractor and a carpenter, and so he needed it for work. And this truck was four-wheel drive. And I remember one time that we were in our yard and we were doing some work and the snow was rather deep, and all of a sudden the truck got stuck. Now, despite the four-wheel drive, we could not get the truck out. We tried all sorts of different things in order to get the truck out of its spot. We tried to put boards under the tires to build a little ramp, but no matter how much we tried, that truck was stuck in the snow. Until finally, we called a tow truck the next day to pull out my dad's truck. Well, when the snow melted the next spring, we saw in the grass the tire marks that my dad's truck had made. You see, when we were trying to pull that truck out of the ground, the tires were spinning and spinning and spinning. There was all sorts of activity, but all it was doing was spinning and digging more mud, getting it deeper and deeper into the soil and not going where it was supposed to be. I bring up that example because I think that's what our lives can be like sometimes. Our lives can be busy, our lives can be full of activity, but they're not going to the place God wants them to go. And so the question then becomes, how do we get back on the right track? How do we live the way that God wants us to live? The word again is repentance. And what I want to talk to you about today is how people misinterpret what our motivation behind repentance should be. That repentance, we all know, means to change and live the way that God wants us to live, but it's our attitude towards repentance that concerns me the most. You see, many people think that repentance means to change while feeling guilty for your sins, while feeling guilty for the way that you live. In fact, many people believe that repentance and guilt go hand in hand, that it's impossible to be repentant without having a guilty heart, without feeling bad for what you've done, that repentance means to sort of go to God hat in hand and to say, God, I'm a terrible person. I've done terrible, terrible things. I feel awful about myself. Now, you should hate me, but I'm just begging you, Lord, that maybe you'll find it in your heart to forgive me, even though I'm such a horrible, awful person. That repentance literally means to lower our opinion of ourselves to a place where we think very little of ourselves. But nowhere in repentance is guilt necessary. In fact, guilt actually harms the action and the practice of repentance. You see, Jesus died not only on the cross for our sins, but also for our guilt and our shame. And when we feel guilt and shame about the things that we've done, and we stay in that guilt, and we believe that that guilt is necessary for forgiveness and salvation, what we're essentially doing is saying that our Jesus' act on the cross is not enough. That yes, Jesus forgives us on the cross, but we need to add to it with our guilt. But the cross is the perfect act of forgiveness and justice for our sins. And because it is the perfect act of forgiveness and justice for our sins, we have to remember that nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. And when we add to the cross with our guilt and our shame, and we think that on top of Jesus' sacrifice, we need to feel guilty and ashamed, what we're essentially doing is we're adding something to something that's already perfect. Imagine, if you will, you went and you go to a 5-star restaurant. That you go to the restaurant of the best chef in the world. And they decide to cook you a perfect steak. This steak is literally perfect. It is the best steak that has ever been made. With the right seasoning, the right cut of meat, and the right temperature. And the chef comes out and proudly lays that steak in front of you. Now what do? You're thankful for the steak. You enjoy the steak. You appreciate the steak. But what do you not do? What you don't do is before eating the steak, you don't ask for ketchup. You don't say, you know, this steak is the best steak in the world. It's perfect, but I'd like to put a little ketchup on it. No, to do that would essentially ruin it. To do that would take away from the perfect thing that it already is. And so when we come to God with repentant hearts and we feel that guilt and shame is necessary for repentance, what we're essentially doing is we're adding to something that is already perfect. And you cannot add or take away from something that's perfect without honestly making it less perfect. So if we shouldn't have a sense of guilt and shame towards repentance, what should our attitude towards repentance be? We should see repentance not as a burden, but we should see repentance as a blessing. Because repentance, and here's the important part, is not simply turning away from the bad things we have done or are doing, but repentance also means turning towards the God who loves us more than we could ever know. And when we turn to God in our guilt and in our shame, when we turn to God with repentant hearts, when we turn to God sorry for what we've done and looking to change and transform, God looks at us and receives us with perfect love. That's what the story of the prodigal son is about. You know the story, right? The story about the son who takes his inheritance, he doesn't listen to the will of the father, he squanders all his money and lives a destitute life and goes back to the father, hat in hand, truly sorry and regretful for all that he's done. And what does the father do? The father receives him not with anger or judgment or condemnation, but the father receives him with love. I remember hearing a story from someone one time who had found sobriety, and it took him a few times to find sobriety. One particular time they found themselves in rehab, and they met this chaplain, and this chaplain was a wonderful advisor and mentor to them, and this chaplain really inspired them to live a life of sobriety, to live a life walking with God, and so they left rehab inspired by this chaplain and motivated and filled with a lot of hope. Well, as many do in recovery, this person continued to struggle and eventually found themselves back in the same rehab center. And this person told me of what he felt like, wondering what the interaction with this chaplain was going to be when he inevitably ran into him again. And so he remembered just trying to avoid him or just trying to, you know, look out for him and brace himself for what he felt was going to be an action or an attitude that was full of judgment. He was almost certain that this chaplain was going to come in and say, "Oh, you're back again. What happened? I thought we talked about this. I thought we got you straightened out. And you're back here again? I'm so disappointed in you." Finally, he ran into the chaplain. And when he ran into the chaplain for the first time again, he was surprised by his interaction. Immediately, the chaplain came to him and said, "Hey, how are you? You're back." And began striking up a conversation with him and talking with him like he had never left before. You see, there wasn't an ounce of condemnation. There wasn't an ounce of looking down on him. He looked at him only with love. He only cared about him. He only was filled with gratitude that they were able to interact again. And that's how God wants us to understand how we interact with him when we're repentant, when we say we're sorry for our sins, when we look to change or transform in some way. God always is happy to receive us with love. God always is happy to change us and transform us. You see, repentance is a blessing. Repentance shouldn't be like taking bitter, painful medicine. Repentance shouldn't be like getting a root canal, or it's something we know we have to do, but it's really, really painful, and we're really not looking forward to it. Repentance should be like getting a drink of cool water in the desert. Repentance should be welcome transformation. Repentance should be like getting a good night's sleep when we're physically exhausted. That yes, God at times wants us to change. Yes, God wants us to transform into being more and more like Jesus Christ, but God always transforms us through love. God always transforms us through forgiveness. We should thoughtfully consider our words and our actions, our daily activities, and ask ourselves, are they living in alignment with God's will and purpose? And if they're not, we should look to change. We should pray that God would transform us and change us. But we should look at the process of transformation not as something to be dreaded, but as something to be welcomed. Because repentance, while it turns us away from our sins, also brings us closer to the God who loves us more than we could ever know. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we ask, Lord, that you would help us repent. Help us be transformed, not through guilt and shame, but through the perfect love found in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.